Welcome to the Notion of You. I'm Toshi Jones, storyteller, guide, and your gentle reminder to slow down and come home to yourself. If you've been here since the beginning, I want you to pause for a second and notice. You showed up week after week, maybe not perfectly, maybe not on the day that each episode dropped, but you came back, and that matters. If this is your first episode, I'm really glad you're here. You're not behind. You're right on time. Today feels like a bit of a closing ceremony, but a doorway all at once. It's not an ending, not a neat little bow tied around your healing, but a moment to look around and say, wow, I've changed. So before we do anything else, take a deep breath with me. Let your shoulders drop. Let your jaw unclench. Feel your feet on the ground or your body in the chair or the rhythm of your steps. You are safe here. I want you to treat this podcast like two friends grabbing tea. No performance, no pressure to get it right, just presence and honesty. If you've been scrolling, juggling tabs, replaying conversations in your head, planning what's next, this is your invitation to come back to your body, back to this very moment, because this is where self-trust lives. Not in the 5-year plan, not in your perfectly color-coded system, not in finally becoming the version of you who has it all figured out. But self-trust lives here, in this breath, in the quiet choice to soften instead of brace, in the decision to listen to your body before the noise of the world. I know how easy it is to live from the neck up. I've done it. I did it for years, overanalyzing, outthinking my intuition, trying to logic my way through everything, especially into safety. It looked productive. It looked responsible. But underneath it all, I was disconnected. Coming back to myself wasn't dramatic. It wasn't one big breakthrough. It was moments like this, of sitting still, breathing, and letting myself feel what I had been avoiding. So today, as we close this season, I want you grounded, not hyped up, not overwhelmed, but grounded. You are safe here. Take another breath and let yourself arrive. There's a version of me I can still see so clearly. It was fall. I was in the lower level of our house. The light was already starting to shift to earlier in the day. I was sitting at my desk, staring at my computer, convinced I was busy. I had tabs open, emails half written, notes everywhere. I looked productive, and I probably even told myself I was. But I wasn't actually accomplishing anything. But I would lose focus, reach for my phone, scroll and scroll and scroll more. Feeling that tight agitation rising in my chest, the quiet depression that doesn't announce itself loudly, but just hums underneath the surface. That gap between where I was and where I wanted to be that felt like it was widening by the minute. Hours would disappear. I lived almost entirely in my head. My body felt foreign, like it was something I was carrying around instead of inhabiting. I second-guessed everything. Small decisions, big decisions. I didn't go after what I wanted. I didn't speak up about my needs or preferences. I absorbed information constantly, convinced that if I just learned one more thing, something would finally click. But it was all input, and there was no integration. There was no embodiment. Underneath it all, I was terrified to feel. I didn't even know I didn't trust myself. I just felt uncomfortable in my own skin. Uncomfortable in my life. If I tried to sit still, my hand would almost unconsciously reach for my phone. Anything to avoid the waves of grief, anger, the sadness that I suspected were waiting for me. I thought that if I opened that door, I would drown. So I avoided it for almost 2 years, and my body paid for it. The first shift wasn't dramatic. It wasn't a breakdown. It wasn't a revelation. It was a summer morning, sitting in the sunlight just before the day got hot. I remember taking a deep breath, trying not to let my thoughts spiral, just to focus on my breath and sit. It honestly felt uncomfortable, almost unbearable to keep my thoughts at bay. And instead of asking my brain what to do, I opened my heart and I asked God what needed to change. The answer was surprisingly simple, and it was no alcohol. That was it. There was no grand life plan, no 5-step roadmap, just one instruction. So I went to the kitchen and poured it all down the sink. And I told myself I'd try for 6 months. Nothing magical happened. There was no overnight clarity. There was just no more numbing in the evenings. Nothing to take the edge off, which meant I had to sit with myself. That was the real beginning. It took about a month before I truly felt any shift. The subtle clearing of my mind, a little more access to myself, not to a new identity, not a new life, just a little bit more me. And that was the doorway. It wasn't perfection or confidence, just a willingness to sit in the discomfort long enough to hear what was true. If I can distill everything this season has been about, it would be this. Returning to yourself is not a one-time decision. It is a daily practice. Not the aesthetic kind, not the kind you go post on Instagram, but the ordinary, almost boring, deeply sacred practice of choosing to listen to yourself on a random Tuesday when no one is watching. Because here's what I've learned. Self-trust doesn't rebuild in the breakthrough moments. It rebuilds in those micro choices. The moment you choose to close the app instead of scrolling. The moment you say, actually, I'm tired, instead of pushing through. The moment you feel that tightness in your chest, and instead of overriding it, you pause. When I stopped drinking, nothing glamorous happened. There was no dramatic glow up. It was just an uncomfortable quiet. But it was in that quiet that I started to notice things. That my nervous system had been living in survival mode for a long time. Not dramatic trauma response survival, but subtle chronic bracing. The constant mental scanning. Always looking for the right answer outside of myself. Always trying to learn more so that I could feel safe enough to act. And this is what so many women in transition are doing. You think the problem is that you don't know enough. You think the problem is you need the right framework, the right plan, the right certification, the right permission. But the deeper issue is that your body doesn't feel safe enough to trust what it already knows. So we override it. We numb it. We outthink it. And then we wonder why we feel disconnected. So what I had to learn, slowly, imperfectly, is that returning to myself is not about becoming someone new. It was about regulating enough to hear myself again. Regulation is not a trendy word, but it's the foundation. When your nervous system is dysregulated, everything feels urgent. Everything feels high stake. Every decision is loaded. And you second guess because your body is scanning for danger. Of course, you don't trust yourself because your body thinks you're under threat. So the first layer of returning to yourself, it's not just mindset work. It's safety work. It's the breathing deeper than feels natural. It's stepping outside into the morning light. It's putting your phone in the other room. It's choosing one small promise and keeping it. That's how you teach your body that you are safe within yourself. And once safety begins to return, your identity starts to soften. This season, we talked about identity not as a label, but as a lived experience. Who are you when you stop performing? Who are you when you're not constantly consuming content about who you should be? Who are you when you sit quietly and feel your own heartbeat? For me, the scariest part of the journey was realizing that I didn't know. I had built so much of myself, of my worth around achievement, productivity, being the responsible one, being the good one. And when I stopped numbing and start listening, I realized I had never asked what I actually wanted. You don't discover yourself through more input. You discover yourself through integration. Integration is taking one truth and living with it long enough to let it reshape you. No alcohol was not just about alcohol. It was about proving to myself that when I heard something true, I could act on it, even if the results were not immediate, even if no one else understood. That one act began to rewire something inside me. I started making smaller decisions differently. Going to bed when I was tired instead of pushing through. Saying no to things that drained me. Creating rituals that grounded me instead of chasing constant stimulation. Those rituals matter more than we think. Not because they're magic, but because they are repetitive signals to your nervous system that you are choosing yourself. The morning walk. The journal page that's just for you. 5 minutes of breathing before you open your laptop. These aren't productivity hacks. They are identity anchors. Every time you keep one small ritual, you are casting a vote for the woman you are becoming. And then there are systems. And it can feel clinical, structured, unspiritual. But what I've learned is that a system is not a cage. It's a container. And when your mind is scattered, when you're in transition, when your identity feels like it's dissolving, you need those containers to hold you. For me, that looked like simple planning rhythms, clear boundaries around work time, digital spaces that reflected my priorities instead of someone else's. Those structures didn't limit me. They stabilized me. When you start to feel stable, you can explore. When you feel held, you can expand. This is what returning to yourself on an ordinary Tuesday looks like. You wake up, maybe you're still tired, maybe you still have doubts. But instead of immediately grabbing your phone, you put a hand on your chest and take one full deep breath. You check in with your body before you check in with the world. You choose one meaningful task instead of 10 busy ones. You notice when you start to spiral and you can gently bring yourself back. It's not about doing it perfectly, but you do it consistently. And slowly, almost imperceptibly, your inner dialogue changes. Going from what if I mess this up to I can handle what comes. From, I need someone else to tell me what to do, to let me sit with this for a minute. from I don't know who I am to I am learning. This path is not linear. There are days I still feel disconnected. There are moments I still want to numb. There are seasons where old patterns resurface. But the difference is now I recognize it sooner. I can come back faster. And that's the real transformation. Not that you never leave yourself again, but that you know how to return. And when you live this way, your life begins to change in subtle but profound ways. You speak up sooner. You rest without guilt. You create from a grounded place instead of a frantic one. You make decisions that feel aligned, even if they're unpopular. You begin to trust the pace of your own becoming. Healing is not about erasing your past. It's about increasing your capacity to stay present with yourself. It's about building a relationship with your inner voice that is steady enough to guide you through the change. Here's what I want you to understand. You don't need to overhaul your life tomorrow. You just need one anchor, one ritual, one small act of integrity, and you repeat it. Because self-trust is built the same way muscle is built, through repetition, through resistance, through choosing again and again. This season has not been about giving you more information to consume. It's been about helping you feel yourself again, about reminding you that you are not broken, that you're dysregulated, you're disconnected, you're in transition. And that's not a flaw. It's an invitation to slow down, to integrate instead of ingest, to choose depth over a distraction, to build a life that feels steady on the inside, not just impressive on the outside. Returning to yourself every single day is not glamorous. It's not loud. It's not always comfortable, but it's powerful. And when you commit to this practice, you become the safest place you know. I want to guide you through something simple. This isn't dramatic or performative, but a small moment of coming back. If you can, place your hand on your heart and one on your belly. Let your shoulders soften. Take one slow breath in through your nose and a longer breath out through your mouth. Notice what happens in your body when you slow the exhale. That is your nervous system recalibrating. That's safety. Now imagine a version of yourself 6 months from now, not the hyper-optimized, perfectly healed version, but the steady one, the woman who has kept one promise to herself consistently. Maybe it's 5 minutes of journaling each morning. Maybe it's no phone before sunlight. Maybe it's honoring your body when it says enough. See her on that ordinary Tuesday. She's not floating above her life. She's in it. The dishes in the sink, the emails to answer, a body that still gets tired, but she trusts herself. Not because everything is solved, but because she listens. Ask her quietly, what's the anchor that she chose? What was the practice she refused to abandon when things got busy? Let whatever comes up be enough. I gently asked yourself, what's my one non-negotiable? Not five, not 10, one. The smallest ritual that would signal to your body, I am with you. Take another breath. And in your mind, make that promise. You don't have to change your whole life right now, but keep that one anchor and let it shape you. As we close this season, I want to look at you, the woman on the other side of all these weeks, and say this clearly. Your healing is coming, not because you forced it, not because you found the perfect plan, but because you chose to stay. You chose to listen. You chose to come back to yourself again and again. And that matters more than you realize. I know this path can feel lonely sometimes. When you start making different choices, when you start numbing, when you say no, when you slow down, it can feel like you're walking a quiet road by yourself. You're not. Every time you press play, every time you sit with your breaths, every time you choose your one anchor ritual, you are part of something deeper, a returning, a remembering. If you feel the nudge to go deeper, to have more support, to not do this work alone, this is why I created Return to Wholeness. Not as a quick fix, but as a container, a place to keep integrating, to keep practicing, to keep building that steady relationship with yourself in a guided, supported way. You don't have to overhaul your life. You just have to keep walking. Thank you for being here for this season, for your honesty, for your courage, for your willingness to feel. We're just getting started.